I just want to echo what all the other speakers have said as they approach this pulpit here in Independence, of the praise and appreciation of the congregation here, its leadership, Brother Jack Williams, the many congregations that are involved to make this happen. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3, 4, and 5 describe my deep gratitude and joy and the support and encouragement that each and every one has given me personally, and the uplifting and the encouragement to keep on keeping on and not be discouraged as one fights that good fight. And then I'm very grateful to the congregation here and the congregation at Chipman Road for their fellowship in the gospel in San Diego as they support me and encourage me and many different ways, and as they encourage the congregation there in Tierra Santa. By the way, Tierra Santa in Spanish, or that's the Spanish name, but in English it means Holy Land. So we're the Holy Land Church of Christ. And so if you're in San Diego, please come and visit with us. And as Brother Jay Yeager had said yesterday, and just to echo his words, I love the preachers too that come here and speak and present their lessons. The question for this morning and of the hour is, who are the 144,000 of Revelation 7 and 14? In Revelation chapter 7 and verses 1 through 4, we read of this number, 144,000. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east and having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And the second reference to this number, 144,000, is found in Revelation chapter 14. Beginning at verse 1 and looking at verses 1, 3, and 4. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth, and these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Within these two texts of scriptures, we find a reference to the number 144,000. But what does this number represent? What is the meaning of the number 144,000? And what is the application of this number to the church? As we study the Bible for the answer to these and many more questions, we need to understand that the book of Revelation is written with figurative language. Thus, our approach to answering the question of the hour will be contextual. We will put our study within the framework of the first century and within the framework of the book of Revelation itself, as it harmonizes with other scriptures as we find within the Bible, the Old and New Testament. We will approach our study of this significant number by answering the question directly and in simplicity. We remember on different occasions when the apostles had asked our Lord different questions concerning spiritual matters, and they asked the Lord, tell us plainly. And one of the things that I have appreciated throughout this lectureship is that each and every preacher has told us plainly. They have broken down for us and gave us the understanding of the scriptures that we find within Revelation that the religious world and the world at large misapplies. Secondly, we will consider what the 144,000 is not. Furthermore, we will see that God's number has a future. Finally, we will consider the price that was paid for this number. First of all, who are the 144,000 of Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14? In James 1 and verse 1, we read, "And James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." Within the framework of the first century, and if we bring ourselves back to that century, to that time, and to that place, it was not uncommon for Christians and for the Lord's body, the church, to be identified as the 12 tribes. 12 as a number used to represent God's people, such as the 12 apostles or the 12 tribes. And there are other Hebraic and Jewish terms and phrases that were used to identify Christians and the Church of Christ. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, we find a reference where Christians of faith are of Abraham, the father of us all. A Jewish way of identifying our ancestry spiritually back to Abraham. And those of faith are the sons of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 9, a reference there. Again, another Hebraic way of identifying ourselves with the Jewish phrase. And then Abraham's offspring in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. The Israel of God in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. So the church of Christ, our Lord's kingdom, is identified as spiritual Israel. And then of the true circumcision in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. So within the framework of the first century, again, it was not uncommon for the church and for Christians to be identified with these Jewish terms. Today, we do not use these terms as often as we probably could. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4, we read, "And these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." These were redeemed. Underscore that thought in this verse. "From among men, being the first fruits." Again, highlight that word there in this verse, "unto God and to the Lamb." Well, when we look at the harmonization of scriptures or within the context of the book of Revelation itself, we find in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 these words, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Again, there's a cross-reference back to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. And other passages of Old Testament texts where the prophets and kings foretold of a people that would be identified with the Lamb. And so we see that in Revelation chapter 14, it speaks of this 144,000 as being the redeemed out of these various nations. And Revelation 5:9 cross-references that thought. Well, in James and 1 and verse 18, we read, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures." And so Christians, the body of Christ, is identified as being the first fruits. Well, it's not by accident on the day of Pentecost, the day of the first fruits there in Acts chapter 2, that we find the first conversions of the preaching of the gospel. Again, out of every nation and tongue. And there on the day of Pentecost, there was many people from different nations who spoke different dialects, embracing our Lord with a heart of obedience. And again, we see how that Revelation chapter 14 and this special number of 144,000 is identified as being that of the first fruits. Well, let's look at chapter 7, and this time verses 14 and 15. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't that bring us back to the thought of Isaiah chapter 1? And therefore are they before the throne of God, serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Well, looking within this beautiful book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 5, we read from the onset of this letter that's being written onto the churches there in Asia, this teaching. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and unto the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so this thought of being washed and being cleansed was laid in the very beginning of this beautiful book. And thus, when we get to Revelation chapter 7, we see the reinforcement of that beginning thought. And thus, this 144,000 are a people who are washed. And they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. In John chapter 19 and verses 33 and 34, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, that is, these two soldiers, they break not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and therewith, or forthwith, came out blood and water. And there was the blood that was shed in his death. And Jesus died for us, his blood was shed for us, and his blood was shed there on Calvary on the cross. Well, how does this 144,000, or more applicably, how do the people of this day and age contact that blood that washes us clean? Well, in Romans chapter 6, and beginning at verse 3 through verse 6, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. See, when one is immersed in the water, they are immersed into the death of Christ. And it's in our Lord's death that his blood was shed. And it's in that death and in that immersion in the water that we come in contact with the blood that washes us. Now notice verse 4. And therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so those who are redeemed, that first fruits, those who are washed by being buried with Christ. Well, in that text of Scripture, in verse 15, it talks about how God will dwell within his temple. And we know that Jesus built his church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. It doesn't say them or those. It says it. And we do not need to be an English scholar when we see the word it with the word my. It means single. One soul only. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And by the context there of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and looking at the other verses that leads up to this thought, contextually, it's talking about the church. God dwells within His building. Cross-reference to this would be Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 20 through 22. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And then over in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, especially verse 2, it speaks of the temple in which our Lord had made. And then it concludes verse 2 by saying, and not man. The temple of God is not made with the thoughts and imaginations of man. And so, the bottom line, the 144,000 are God's people. The church of Christ. His body, His number. Secondly, what the 144,000 is not. And we'll look at several comments here. When you go to the internet, you will notice when you plug in 144,000, you're going to get all kinds of ideas from all kinds of religious groups and all kinds of teachings that are found out in the world. And let me say this, brethren. Do you realize how unique we are as a body of Christ, as the Lord's church, that there is no other religious organization teaching what we have put forth this week? What separates us from all other religious groups, bar none, 2 John 9. He that transgresses and abides not within the doctrine of Christ has not God. But he that abides, that is, dwells within the doctrine of Christ, he is both the Father and the Son. There is no other religious group that teaches what we teach. They're all caught up in rapture, tribulation, Armageddon, and all kinds of stories that go behind that. And false ideas that mislead many people. And because it's told over and over and over again, all these religious groups have grown to accept it as being factual. You say a lie enough times and people will believe it without examining the scriptures. So what is the 144,000? What is it not? Well, and one source said, in beginning with Revelation 14:4, and they are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These appear to have never been married and never been intimate with women. Some consider the virginity mentioned here is not of a sexual nature, but is referring to a spiritual purity. However, the fact that women are mentioned, and see, here's the problem that these people have. They cannot distinguish between literal language and figurative language within the scriptures. What's troubling is that even within our own brotherhood, there's some difficulty understanding just that very point of language. Years ago, in our public schools, they used to teach the difference between literal and figurative language. And I'm not so sure that they're really teaching that today like they used to. And so here, they're taking a literal application. And Howard, the fact that women are mentioned in connection with this indicates this means exactly what it says. Not true. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's true. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of unto God and to the Lamb. Well, that's true. But it's the untruth that propels their false idea and their error. And this could signify that they were originally the first to be saved after the rapture. In Revelation 14 and verse 5, in an age when cursing and blaspheming God is a commonplace, it is interesting to note in this verse, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. These 144,000, this source goes on to say, are probably alive right now in Israel. Many of them may be Orthodox Jews in the Holy Land today. You see how they've just completely misunderstood the context of that chapter plus the book? And though they are zealous for God, at this time blindness in parts has happened to Israel, Romans 11 and verse 25, following God's supernatural destruction of the invading forces against Israel, the 144,000 believe and go forth preaching the everlasting gospel and the gospel of the kingdom over all the earth, and they will preach to fear God and to give glory to God and the message of salvation and the message of the judgments that are now being brought upon the earth. Many will get saved as a result of the 144,000 anointed ones of God. However, those that do come to Christ by faith will suffer horrible persecutions. Many will have to flee for their lives as time progresses. Many will eventually be beheaded for their faith in Jesus. And then they close with this statement. What ultimately happens to the 144,000 is not clear. Well, their whole idea about the 144,000 is not clear. What they have done is what Peter has told us and taught us, is that they've wrested the scriptures, they've twisted it to their own demise and to their own destruction, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. And unfortunately, many an unlearned soul that's caught up in the world have done just that. Here's another source from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The fulfillment of this prophecy can only be completely fulfilled before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, the second coming. It is scheduled to be accomplished by those assigned to this task to prepare the whole world for the return of Christ, where he is to rule over this earth. These 144,000, they have in parentheses and quotes, Elijah's, will come in the power of Elijah, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. And this is why they are called the servants of the prophets. And when they have finished their testimony, they, like John the Baptist, will also be martyred, beheaded. Well, in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 through 20, we read, "Go ye therefore into all the world, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Brethren and friends, all Christians are given the responsibility to preach and teach that gospel of Christ, not just the select few, 144,000, that they term as Elijah's, because they have this powerful indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's a New Age thought regarding to the 144,000. The answer, they are not yet externalized on the earth, but soon will be. John saw Zion in a vision. Here we are given the key number for the cities of Zion, 144,000. Each completed city of Zion will have approximately this many heads of households, and at least one city has to be underway before Christ will return. Where do they get that thought? The inhabitants of Zion will have the Father's name in their foreheads, and this means that each will recognize the authority of God within and through that power manifest purpose. The center at the top of the head will be active to some extent. Well, it needs to be activated. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we're given this admonition to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And these people need to be ashamed for coming up with these ideas that they put forth in this world and confuse and camouflage the truth that we proclaim, rightly dividing the word of truth. And certainly this New Age thought doesn't rightly cut or rightly divide God's truth. In the British Israelite movement, and I forget their name here in the States, but I've studied with several of them, and there are quite a number of them here in the Midwest. But here's their take on the 144,000. The 144,000 Israelites are converted, end-time, blood-borne descendants of Israelites who were brought out of Egypt. And that's their emphasis, that are brought out of Egypt. In the days of Moses, it could well be, and I hope it is, that some Gentile believers, And those who do not balk at the idea of being classified as Israelis or Jews will be numbered with them. But that is for the Almighty to decide. Brethren, friends, when we compare Revelation chapter 7 and verses 4 through 8 to the 12 tribes that are listed there, compare it to the record found in Numbers chapter 1 and verses 5 through 16 to the record that's there, differences can be found in the fact that the tribe of Levi was not counted on the numbers list, but counted on the Revelation list. And also Ephraim and Dan were both left out of the Revelation list, but included on the numbers list. Hence, the idea that this British Israelite puts forth is flawed. It is not consistent with contextual study of the Scriptures. And as we can read for ourselves, there are many different ideas concerning and regarding the identity of the 144,000. But these are not 144,000 of the Bible. Furthermore, God's number has a future. And some of the great messages we've heard this week have spoke about the future of God's people and the future of the body of Christ. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." What wonderful words of assurance and of comfort that we have as God's people in this world, to know that there is a home for those who are His. And blessed is the one who dies in the Lord. The implied teaching of this verse is the very fact that God's number will be in the presence of God. God's number has a future. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, a passage of Scripture that has been referenced throughout this lectureship, and then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, or the church of Christ to God, or the body of Christ to our Lord to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, the kingdom of Christ or the church of Christ will be delivered up to the Father. The church is represented by the number 144,000. Thus, the 144,000, figuratively stated, shall be delivered up to heaven. And has been referenced in this lectureship about the book of Revelation, that it was a book written to give hope to the churches of Asia in the first century, to give them encouragement to be victorious and not to be downtrodden and not to give up. And these words are applicable in that same way to us today by extended context, that they give us encouragement to keep on keeping on and to realize there is going to be a victory. And understanding and knowing that when our Lord died on the cross, He overcame the power of death and put down the rule of Satan. And thus, it's our responsibility to take this message about a kingdom that has a future, a number that is represented of the church, the body of Christ here, in this world, in this realm. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5 and verse 11, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us." He has not chosen any other religious body. He has chosen us. In Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God's number is predestined before the foundation of the world to have a home with Christ in heaven. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we see there is another number. And God has always saved His number. God has always looked after His number. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And let me say this, brethren and friends, the things that we have taught this week condemn the world. They condemn the religious thought that has so manifested in the minds of men and women of this world that we live in and we dwell in. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, which sometime we're disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Brethren, friends, the Church of Christ has a future. God will always save His number, His people, His army, His kingdom. And finally, the price that was paid for the 144,000. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, we read, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was slain for the world. In Revelation 7 and verse 14, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The price paid for the 144,000, the price paid for the body of Christ, is the blood of the Lamb. In Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He has purchased with His own blood." Our Lord purchased the church by His own blood. And that phrase, church of God, within that text is just another way of saying church of Christ, because Christ is deity. He is 100% God and 100% man. The phrase, the Son of God, that is used throughout the Scriptures to identify Jesus, the word Son has reference of someone who has the like nature of the Father. And Jesus has the like nature of the Father being deity. And thus it took His blood to be the only suitable sacrifice for His people, His number. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, "You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." And the very reason why we lift up our hearts in prayer and our voices in song and proclaim His word and remember His death and then give generously of our means to support His cause is to bring glory unto the Lord, because He died for His people. Ephesians 2 and verse 16, "That He might reconcile both, that is, those of a Jewish persuasion and those from a Gentile persuasion, unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Again, it took the sacrifice of our Lord, which was foretold from Genesis 3 and verse 15 onward throughout the Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7 and verse 22, "But unto the second went the high priest alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Each and every one of us who put on Christ can be thankful for the sacrifice that was made. Because of the shedding of our Lord's blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. God's people, His number, was redeemed at a price, the blood of our Lord.